The pasuk says, let's start straight with source number one. It's going to introduce us to our topic for today, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas B'Shalach. The Torah tells us that the Jewish people arrived in a place called Mara. Why was the place called Mara?
There was nothing to drink.
Right, because they had nothing to drink because the water was bitter. So, in response to the bitter water, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, take a piece of wood and toss it into the river, into the water, the spring, whatever they had there. And what? Exactly. And kachava, that's what it was. And that was the story. That's why it's called Mara. Says the pasuk in here in pasuk Chafei Perek Tesvav, Sham Sam Lo Chok Umishpat V'Sham Nisahu. So there, Sham he placed Lo for him Chok Umishpat. A what is Chok? Chuk may be called a law, and a mishpat is a rule. All right, these are loose English translations.
Statutes,
thank you. Visham nisahu. And there, he tested them. At least that's how Rashi translates it. So what does that phrase mean? Sham sam lo chokum mishpat visham nisahu. So Unglitz translates it as Tamon gezar le kiyam vidin v'tamon nasi. Literal translation like we have. But Rashi, based on a medrash, in a mechilta, and a similar gemara in Sanhedrin, Rashi has a tradition that is known to some. Sham samlo, there he gave him, says Rashi, b'mara, in this place called Mara, where I put the bracket, nasan lahem miksas parshios shel Torah, sheyis asku bahem. He gave them some of, a selection of, a sampling of portions of the Torah, sheyis asku bahem, that they should be involved in them. What are those? Number one, Shabbos. Number two, Para Aduma. And number three, Dinim. Laws. Now, actually here, in this is the most Sadar of Cook edition of the Torah's Chaim Chumash. So he gives you, if you look in footnote 36, 35, Shabbos is Mechilta, and it's in the tiny letters, and Sanhedrin. So that's the marker for where Rashi knows Shabbos. Par Aduma is actually a big discussion in the super commentaries on Rashi, because it's not so clear where that comes from. So here they tell you it's actually from the Seder Olam Zuta, and according to the Girsa that we have in the Mechilta, he has Kibra Ve'im. It says, look in the Chizkuni. And then the last one is also Mechilta, regarding Dinim.
Because if you do the Rashi Tavos Paraduma...
Exactly. So some suggest that there was some Girsa problem. Maybe it would have been, instead of being Pe Aleph, which was unpacked as Paraduma, it was Chaf Aleph, which was Kibrav. Okay. So let's think about this for a moment. Where are the Jewish people stationed right now? They just left Mitzrayim. They passed through the Yamsuf. Their destination, we know, is Har Sinai. So here we have this interim road stop, and Hashem is giving them mitzvos at this juncture. So it would seem to me that the mitzvos are not just randomized choice mitzvos. They are specifically chosen that they should fit right here, right now. So Para Aduma, I understand why you should give them Para Aduma right now. Okay, maybe because they're all Tamei. What is the law of Para Aduma? Law of Para Aduma is this very difficult to understand legal process, a procedure. A person who is somehow in contact for whatever reason with a deceased, he can undergo this process, which includes the ashes of the burnt cow, the red heifer, mixed with specific kind of water in a specific kind of vessel that's done in a very specific process. That can purify the person. And then the person who does that, the Kohen who performs that process, but he themselves becomes Tamei.
Would that be the dead end, the dead Mitzrim?
Could be the dead Mitzrim.
The ones who are going to die in the desert.
Could be those who are going to die in the desert. I think these are all good pshatim. I thought even a simpler pshat. Because according to the Medrash, the word chok has a specific connotation. What do we say?
We don't understand.
That's right. That's a tradition. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, we say Zos Chukas HaTorah. What's Parshas Chukas about? Paraduma. So in the tradition, even though there are some who have attempted to give explanations for Para Aduma, rational explanations, we have this idea, like Fern just articulated, that a chok has the implication of something that's beyond human understanding. Doesn't mean it's an irrational law, it means it's a law that's beyond our comprehension. So I understand very well why Para Aduma is right here, right now. Because here come the Klal Yisrael, so they're about to get to Har Sinai. Hashem is trying to educate them and say, Chevra, you have to understand that as a nation is going to be taking on a divine mission, so you're going to have things that you don't understand. And that's why the Medrash says, about Shlomo HaMelech, Amarti ech kama v'hirucho kami meni. I thought I was wise, but it's still beyond my grasp. That's referring to, according to our tradition, it's referring to Paraduma. So Hashem is telling them right off the bat, you should understand that there are going to be things that are beyond your grasp. And that's the nature of being a mitzvah, being commanded, is that you don't necessarily understand everything which is given to you. So far, so good, right? Makes sense. Dinam I also get. I get that very well. Because here you have a bunch of slaves who were just emancipated, but they have no framework for living. It's interesting because in Parshas Yisro, we don't think about this so much, I guess. Moshe Rabbeinu is described as having an overwhelmingly burdensome schedule, right? He's menabokar erev. What's he dealing with? So it sounds like they have disputes, monetary disputes. They have some shilas, but my guess is that there are, right? They're just disputes between people. So dinim is a very basic thing. That's why it's one of the core sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. Dinim says, you guys just left Mitzrayim. You need laws. Dinim just means laws. It means civil laws. How to govern a basic society. So you left Mitzrayim. First things first. Let's make sure that you can live together in peace. But then the question becomes Shabbos. Why is it that he gave them Shabbos specifically at this juncture? And that's what we spoke about 2 years ago. We spoke about the mitzvah kasher tzivcha Hashem Elokecha b'mara. That there was a transformation here, and that's what I'd like to focus on today, specifically what aspects, and I think there are, I'd like to focus on three, although I'm sure we could come up with many, several aspects of Shabbos that are specifically relevant to the Jewish people right here before they get to Har Sinai, before they get Matan Torah. So let's begin with the first one, and that is an insight of Rav Shimshon Pinkus.
By the way, is Shabbos a chok?
So Shabbos is probably not a chok.
Oh, so it's a mishpat?
That's a good point. It's probably not a mishpat either. So there is some discussion I saw in the Nachshoni. How did they exactly derive these things from the Pasuk? Because the word chok probably applies to Paraduma. The word mishpat usually means laws, probably refers to
Dinim.
So where did they get Shabbos? So that's a good question, how they knew Shabbos. That's a discussion. So if you look on the second page, I gave you a selection from a book called Shabbos Malkasa. Shabbos Malkasa. It's a work that was authored by Rabbi Shimshon Pinkus. Rav Shimshon Pinkus was a very popular rabbi and speaker, I think in a town called Ofakim, in the south of Israel, and then he died in a tragic car accident, maybe about 10 years ago, something like that?
Wife and daughter.
Yeah, I think it was about 10 years ago. So since he died, they've been putting out tons and tons. You go into a bookstore, you'll find many, many volumes of his sichot that are published posthumously. But this was one of the three svarim, small sefer, that he wrote during his lifetime. He himself wrote this sefer, called Shabbos Malkasa. And he talks about the beauty of Shabbos. It's an amazing sefer. This one selection, I think, can help us get to the first nekuda of Shabbos, especially as it relates to the Jewish people at their juncture right here. And that is the notion of Shabbos as an expression of avdus, of slavery, of servitude. Meaning, the Jewish people had the mindset and the experience of slaves. That's where they were. That's where they, so to speak, that was their whole world from, who knows, more than two centuries. So Hashem is telling them, let's have an experience that you can relate to, but in a different way. And that's that's what he explains in several paragraphs here.
Well, is it that the rest is going to be something new to them?
So that's an interesting question the Reverend is raising. Was the day of rest new to them? So according to the Medrash, it was actually not.
Slaves, did they have a day of rest?
Oh, so that's a great question. We say in the davening, Yismach Moshe
b'matnaschelko.
What does it mean, Yismach Moshe? Moshe should be happy with his gift. So there is a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu, there is a medrash like this, I think it's quoted in the Torah Shlema of Rav Kasher in the collection. So he quotes that medrash. This is the vart is on that words, but the medrash says like this: that Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro. He said, "You want the people to be efficient workers? You have to give them a day off." Mm. Says they're going to break down. They're going to burn out if you work them all day, all night, for 24/7. Exactly. So according to the tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu actually lobbied for the day of rest, which he established on Shabbos, and that's why in the davening we say Moshe is happy for the gift of Shabbos, which is his portion. Why is it Moshe's portion? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who asked for it. Exactly. But leaving that matter aside, according to the text, we're not familiar with that.
I have a question. Sure. Is this before or after the manna? When they were told.
So this is before.
This is before. So
right. This is in Parsha.
They have no reference. So when they were.
What's that?
Is in before and in Mishalach, both of them.
Both of what? Yeah, they're both. I'm just trying to remember at what point in the Parsha this one comes. I have to check in the Chumash. I think it's before.
It does come before.
Yeah.
I think it's before.
Yeah, this is preparation.
There's a pshat that says that it's given now in anticipation of what's
of the
month. In the next Parsha.
Right. So they had that experience
they would know. They would have some framework for knowing why they should take a double portion.
Exactly. Oh. So he says, something very beautiful, Rav Pinkus. He says, Etzleinu, on the second paragraph, I'm going to translate as we go along. And remember, he's writing within the last 20 years. He says, Etzleinu, for us, Hamutzag Avdus, Yeshlo Reach Shel Shiflus. For us, the word, the concept, the notion of slavery, servitude, has a little bit of a diminished quality. Va'afilu kisha omrim kachal Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if you say it about Moshe Rabbeinu, ki evin neman karasalo, misganeves lelibeinu ktsas rachmanas al Moshe. You know, we feel like a shtickle rachmanas. Nebuch, he was a slave. He was a servant. He says, Aval ha'emes hi, she'eved melech kemelech. The servant of a king has a quality of royalty. B'muvan hanachon, in its true understanding, avdus hi amayla hagedola b'yoser she'ev shalahasig. Servitude is actually the highest level that a person achieves, she'kol mitziuso ha'pshuta shalaprat, Betela, that your small individual identity becomes null. V'hu kulo misached im hamusag ha'elyon shel hamalchus. He becomes part and parcel of this much nobler, bigger picture of the malchus. Umavmela, and therefore zoche lechelik shel hakeser. By not diminishing, but by putting yourself in a frame of a bigger picture, you become bigger. So I'll give you a mashal. I like this mashal. It's not exact. It's not exactly precise, but I like this. I think it's a main the idea. So let's say you're sitting on the L, on the train, whatever, the metro, going downtown. And you sit next to someone. So you're sitting next to a guy, and you ask him, so what does he do? He says, he works at McDonald's. Okay. You know, there are a billion McDonald's, and there are billions and billions. So he works at McDonald's. He works, where do you work? He works in the kitchen. He's on the line or whatever he's doing in the kitchen. So how do you think that person feels about himself? Well, so obviously it depends on his self-confidence, his self-esteem, etc. But when he says, I work at McDonald's, so that's not a particular point of unique pride that he works at McDonald's. He works at McDonald's, okay. So Parnassa, everybody needs a good Parnassa. They should also earn a good Parnassa. Everybody works at McDonald's. But let's say you sit next to somebody, and the guy, you look at him, he says, I work in a kitchen. He says, oh, where do you work? So he opens up his jacket, and you see the round seal of the White House. The President of the United States. He's a line cook in the White House.
He's not riding the L.
No?
No, he's not riding the L, I'm sorry.
So how does that person present themselves? He doesn't say, you know, I work in a kitchen. He doesn't say, I work in a kitchen. The second you ask him, what does he do? He says, I work in the White House. And by the way, he's not going to say, well, he's not even necessarily going to tell you off the bat whether he's a janitor in the White House, whether he's a line cook, whether he's an executive chef. What's Choshev is, he works in the White House. He has security clearance in the White House. He every day goes and he sees the president. It doesn't matter where, what exactly his job, he's there. It's a Choshev thing. It's a very honorable. So says Rav Pinkus, we have it all backwards. We think, oh, Nebuch Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a workaholic. He was the greatest Eved ever to exist. He says, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, he had the biggest joy, the greatest honor. He worked in the palace of the Almighty, the eternal one God. So we think it's chashuv, honorable to work in the White House. Imagine if you work in God's house. So he says, the concept of Avdus is that when the person, what does it mean? He transforms himself because he becomes part of something greater. Because now, when the person identifies themselves, they don't identify themselves with, like this guy works in the kitchen. He doesn't say, I'm a line cook. That's not how he sees himself. He sees himself as part of something big. He says, I work in the White House. I'm responsible. Because of me, there are state dinners. Because of me, the president functions. Because of me, the country is successful. You know, I'm part of something big. That's why he gets up to work every day and feels like I'm doing a davar chashuv. I'm doing something important. It's not because his whatever job he does in the kitchen. Because if you look at it on a micro level, there's no difference between this line cook and the line cook at McDonald's. They're both chopping onions. But the difference is this one sees chopping onions. He's not looking at the onions. When he talks to you on the L about his job, he's not discussing the onions. Maybe he is, but he's not thinking of that. He's thinking about how he plays a role in history. You know? Seriously, and it's true. Because the more you see yourself as a part of the big picture, the more you see yourself as
the White House staff.
That's right. Exactly. It's not so much as an individual. It's part of the staff in the White House. Exactly. Says Rav Pinkus, that's exactly the point. The more that a person focuses on their own individual, little, tiny, minuscule corner of the universe, so then what are they? Whatever. But if you see yourself as part of a big staff, the Rabbeinu Shalom staff in this world, it's a big thing. So he says that is part of what Shabbos is about. And that's what he explains. Go to the bottom. He says, Kach, Cain, bottom of the first column, Cain mamish ha-Yehudi ba-avodaso, so acts exactly a Jew in his service. Ad kamashu mevatel atzma la-Kadosh Baruch Hu v'toraso, as far as he is able to mevatel, to subsume himself within, mevatel literally means to nullify, but it means to subsume himself within this greater picture of godliness in the world and his Torah v'chol masavim l'shem shemaim, everything he does is for the sake of Hashem. Hu atzmo yoser Yehudi v'nikra al shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'shmeinu koras alecha. So he becomes more identified with Hashem himself. Ah, so now this concept of becoming part of something bigger is exactly what Shabbos is about. Says the top of the second column, mitzvah ha-kolelas b'chinas avdus kemosa. What's that? Shari kol omel ha-odom l'fihu. On a person who is an Eved, everything he does is for his service. Everything is riding on this work. On Shabbos, the person stops working. And what happens? He leaves behind the whole human existence, his normal physical sustenance. V'kulo achshav eved la Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gives himself over as a servant to God, right? A servant is somebody who's totally in the service of the work of, he is totally dependent on whatever the master is. So imagine you take a person, and this is even true, I'm sure Reverend Wolf remembers these times. I remember my grandfather, Alav Shalom, he told me, he came to this country with his father and to bring over his siblings from Russia, from Latvia. So he went from one job, he worked there, then comes Friday, he got fired. He said, don't come tomorrow, don't come on Sunday. So it was literally giving up his whole livelihood to observe Shabbos. And then we got to the next, and many people had this experience. The incredible sacrifice to take 25 hours and say, I'm not going to work, so what are you doing? The answer is, I'm working for something else. I'm working for someone else. And that's what Pinchas describes. That's why Shabbos is an expression of being an Eved Hashem, because you're giving yourself over. And again, I saw this with the way my grandfather, Alav Shalom, described it, that literally people, they were giving their hands into the hands of Hashem and saying, look, I don't have a job come Sunday. I'm going to try again. So he says that is what makes Shabbos about Avdus, because it demonstrates that you're giving yourself over to this bigger cause. Well, Befrat, he says in the next, you could read the next on your own. Well, no, let's do it, because he gets into it even in detail. Then I just want to finish with the next paragraph. He says, Va'od, Shekach gam tzuras ha'chaim b'yom ha'Shabbos, the way that we live on Shabbos, ha'shomer Shabbos kilchosu yodov mamash kavulos, a person who actually observes the full Shabbos, his hands are, so to speak, tied to God. He doesn't do anything until he thinks about what the Torah wants. He's literally an Eved. Every move, the same way the White House line chef, do you think he's going to come up with a menu on his own? Do you think he's going to make one change to the precise way of sautéing the onions? No, because he's in the service. So we, on Shabbos, we're not going to take the bone out of the fish. We're going to take the fish out of the bone, because it's all part of Avdus. Avdus to Hashem. Ubefrat, the next paragraph. Masha Shabbos zmanu me'is la'is. The Shabbos is an entirety of time. It's not a half a day. It's not a third of a day. It's not just 2 hours. It encapsulates a whole time. So this idea, and he has a length, much longer idea, a lengthier piece here, but I just wanted to take away this section for us now. Now I can understand why it is from this perspective that it was important for the Jewish people coming out of Mitzrayim to get Shabbos, because they understood what it was to be an Eved. To work all the time. Not to have any decision-making power of their own. Always to be subservient to somebody else. So says Hashem, guess what? You're not an Eved to power anymore. But you're still an Eved.
To Hashem.
That transformation is something they can understand. They know what it means to an Eved. But what is he trying to tell them? He says, now your Avdus is noble. It's great. It's not like somebody who is working in a dead-end job that they're working their brains out and they're going nowhere. No, you're now line cook in the White House. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling them. You people are Eved, and you know that's going to be part of their challenge during the Dor HaMidbar of to see, how do they break out of that mentality of Avodim. Unfortunately, Vayinasu Osizeh Eser Pa'amim, they didn't do, I mean, who are we to criticize anyone, but... Yeah. Right, they tested Hashem 10 times. They didn't do such a great job of following Hashem in the Midbar. They had difficulties, and part of that was because they had this experience of Avdus. They maybe couldn't shake out of their heads. They could, exactly. But Hashem is saying,
Avadim died out.
What's that?
All the ones who were actually Avadim
died out. Exactly, but perhaps because of that reason that they weren't up for the challenge. Mm-hmm. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to tell them, perhaps on this level, guess what? You don't have to give up your concept of Avdus. That's where you're coming from. Channel that experience to something nobler. And that's why they got Shabbos. That's level number one. But perhaps there's another aspect to it, and this is the next page, which comes from a book, a well-known book by Heschel, called The Sabbath. Great book on Shabbos. Very quick, small volume. So the key, according to Heschel, in the first section of the book, is called A Palace in Time. And he notes that even though there are aspects in Judaism of place and space, Shabbos is something different. Shabbos is what he calls a palace in time. That's what we call in legal halachic jargon, Kedushas Hazman. Says Heschel, the Jewish contribution to the idea of love is the conception of love of the Sabbath, the love of a day, of spirit in the form of time. What is so luminous about a day? What is so precious to captivate the hearts? It is because the seventh day is a mine where spirit's precious metal can be found with which to construct the palace in time, a dimension in which the human is at home with the divine, a dimension in which man aspires to approach the likeness of the divine. For where shall the likeness of God be found? There is no quality that space has in common with the essence of God. There is not enough freedom on the top of the mountain. There is not enough glory in the silence of the sea. Yet the likeness of God can be found in time, which is eternity in disguise. What a beautiful expression. He goes on, we'll do one more little bit. The art of keeping the seventh day is the art of painting on the canvas of time the mysterious grandeur of the climax of creation. As he sanctified the seventh day, so shall we. The love of the Sabbath is the love of man for what he and God have in common. Our keeping the Sabbath day is a paraphrase of his sanctification the seventh day. And what would be a world without the Sabbath? It would be a world that knew only itself or God distorted as a thing or the abyss separating him from the world. A world without the vision of a window in eternity that opens into time. Can't say better than that. So there is a musag of Kedushas Makom. There's a concept of sanctity of a place, of Yerushalayim, of Beis HaMikdash, of Azara, of Kodesh Kadoshim. But says Heschel, there's a fundamental flaw there, because there's a little bit of a paradox. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu fit in a place? So the answer is, he's mitzamtzim, kivyachol. But in a certain sense, that's a concession. The Baruch Hu has to be mitzamtzim himself to fit into Kedushas Makom. But Kedushas Zman, there, the time, it's only mitzad us that there is a constriction of time. But we're tapping into something that is eternal. This musag of time is very important. Why is it important? Because it relates to an eved. What is the one thing that an eved does not have? What does he not control? What's that?
His own time.
Bingo. What is the first mitzvah? Rashi points out, the Torah could have started with... What? Why? Why would the Torah have started with HaChodesh HaZelachim? Why is HaChodesh HaZelachim the...
that we have control over time.
Exactly. And that's why when HaKodesh... Exactly. When Hashem says, I'm going to take you out, you're going to do the Karban Pesach, which is going to be the defining moment of leaving Mitzrayim, what does he tell them? You want to leave Mitzrayim? HaChodesh HaZelachim. You control time. You're no longer avadim. You're no longer slaves. In the case of a slave... That's why, although slaves are partly Jewish, they're not chayv in a mitzvah saseh shazman grama. Why? Because they don't control time. Their time is out of their hands. So if it's a time-bound mitzvah, they're not obligated, they're excluded. So Hashem says, HaChodesh HaZelachem, you are in control of time. Shabbos, we now understand, is the expression of engagement with the sanctity of time. So for an Eved to come out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, HaChodesh HaZelachem, the first mitzvah that he's going to get, once he's out, it's going to be the mitzvah of Shabbos. Imagine an Eved, he never experienced anything like this before. So Hashem is giving him a taste, like we say, Me'in Olam Haba. That's a whole new concept. It's different than the first angle which we had. The first angle was embracing the Avdus that they had. This angle is, no, Shabbos is actually, it's breaking them out of the mentality of Avdus. It's saying, you're not Avadim anymore. Stop living like an Eved. Take time for yourselves. Make space in your calendar. And now you can do that. They're never used to do that. They didn't have a calendar. Who needed a daily planner? So that's the second aspect, the concept of Kedushas Hazman. And that's why the Gemara says in Shabbos, somebody who is a Shomer Shabbos receives, like Yaakov Avinu, Nachala Bali Mitzarim. Avinu, he was told, you should go tzafon of a negba, teiman of a yama. This is the borders. Yeah, because Yitzchak Avinu was told this portion and that portion. Yaakov Avinu was told no gvul. Why does somebody get a nachala b'limitzarim if they observe Shabbos? Because Shabbos is not a dimension in space. It's a dimension of time.
Is there a measure or something that says that what they got at Mara in terms of Shabbos was only the positive part of it, the mitzvah saying of it?
That sounds familiar. That does sound familiar, but I'm not sure.
But if so, that would tap into what you're saying even more so, because it's only the kedusha of, I mean, the mitzvah saying of Shabbos is really to be the kaddish of Shabbos.
Right. So, it's a good ha'ara.
But I don't know if it's true.
Right. And also, on the opposite side, the converse is also true, which is the Isser Malacha is actually a function of the Kedushas Hayom. So the reason why Yom Kippur, not the reason, but a simen that Yom Kippur is a very, very kadosh time is because of the fact that it's a ramped up Isser Malacha with an Onesh Karis, etc. But so it's an interesting thing to explore. So this is suggestion number two, that they needed Shabbos to break out of the Musag of Avdus. But then there's a third dimension. I'm sure we could spend many more. That comes from this Rashi on page 4. And I found this concept developed at length. We'll only take a little bite out of it, by Rabbi David Foreman in an essay that he published in Mitocha Ohel, a collection of Torah, Divrei Torah, that was published by Reitz, by YU. It's a well-known conundrum. We say it, I think, most people, we say this Friday night. We have the practice to say this. Vayechal Elokim bayom hashvi malachto asher asa. And Hashem, what the word vayechal means? He finished. The work that he did, on what day? On the seventh day. Vayishbos bayom hashvi. And he rested on the seventh day. So, which is it? Did he finish working on Shabbos? Or did he rest on Shabbos? Usually when we say, I finished, right? Let's say I'm a lawyer. So I say, I finished my brief yesterday. So that means yesterday until 4:59, I was working on it. 1 minute to 5 o'clock, when it was due, I finished it. Right? It doesn't mean I did nothing yesterday. I finished it yesterday means I was finished before yesterday. So which is it? Did he finish working on Shabbos? Or did he finish working before Shabbos? And he rested on Shabbos. So Rashi offers you two options. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon says, Basar v'dam, a human being, she'eno yodea itav v'regav, that does not know how to calculate seconds and nanoseconds, moments, tzarech lohosif mechol al kodesh. He must add from the chol to the kodesh. He has to start Shabbos early, which is what we do. We have a mitzvah. Most Rishonim assume that the mitzvah of Tosefes Shabbos, not like the rabbi, we assume that Tosefes Shabbos, it's a mitzvah, maybe even mitzvah doraisa. You don't start Shabbos at Shkia, because you don't know exactly when Shkia is. Maybe you'll start a little bit late. How do you know? It's impossible for us to, even if we had the most accurate luach, you're going to split the second into nanoseconds and then sub-nanoseconds, whatever it is. It's impossible for a human being. We can't use that kind of precision in that calculation. So only the Rosh Hashanah knows that. We add. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sheyodea itav v'regav, that knows every moment and every second, nichnas bo, he entered Shabbos, kechud ha-sa'ara, in the thread of the hair. Venire ki ilu kilo ba bobayom. It seemed as if he finished it on that day, meaning
on Shabbos.
Exactly. So that's why the Torah says, it describes, Vayachal Elokim bayom hashvi. God finished the work on Shabbos, and he rested on Shabbos. It seemed to us that he did both. It sounded like he finished on Shabbos, because from our vantage point, when we saw, if we were there, and we would have looked at the time frame, one by one, frame by frame, it would have looked like he finished on Shabbos. Right? That's Rashi. That's how he resolves this contradiction. Dover Achir. Something else. Ma hoya ha'olam chaser. What was the world lacking? Says Rashi. Menucha. Bos Shabbos, bos menucha. Comes Shabbos, comes rest. Kolsa v'nigmara hamalacha. the work is now complete. What's the shot? How does this
close immediately stops?
It's finished, exactly. So how does this pshat in Rashi address the the contradiction of the Pesukim?
As you enter the Shabbos.
What's that?
As you enter the Shabbos, you're done.
Okay, and therefore what?
Melucha yeah. was created on Shabbos.
Exactly. So rest was created on Shabbos. Right? So in Ochanami, he didn't work on Shabbos, but by not working, he created a new musag, because in reality, we had never seen, there had never been a concept of rest.
I heard Rabbi Goldwicht in New York, he said, Zachor Yom HaShabbat La'asot HaShabbat, and he went on to talk about how you have to make things on Shabbat. And he used that as a distinction here.
Vayonach, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Tanya de Besailach, good. So here's the question. Let's analyze this for a second. What does it mean that he created Menucha? Since when is Menucha a creation? Isn't Menucha, right? Exactly. Yeah. Is it just the absence of working? So how can the absence of working be something that's created?
When you invest it with Kedusha.
Okay, when you invest it with Kedusha. But from the perspective of the Ribono Shel Olam, the Musag, when he stopped working, so now we're saying, oh, that is a new thing. That's called Menucha. Why is that a thing? It's the absence. Elamai, it must be that this, it is an entity. It is something. It's not the absence of, it is an item. It is an entity. It is a reality. Exactly. So what is that? So think about it for a second. The word vayonach, menucha, noch, means to be settled. It's not just that Hashem did not do work. It's that he created a situation of being settled. Says Rabbi Foreman, this is the distinction. Our whole life is filled with Kedusha. We have two kinds of Kedusha. We have the Shesh Yisimei HaMaaseh, 6 days of work, and then we have Shabbos. What's the difference between the Kedusha of the Shesh Yisimei HaMaaseh and the Kedusha of the Yom HaShabbos? Right? We're both doing Avodas Hashem. During the week, our Avodas Hashem is building the world in the spirit of godliness, doing Torah and mitzvos through the life that we do. So whether we go to work and we act honestly because we're informed by Torah values, or because when we drive in the street and we don't cut off the guy in front of us, we act with midos menshelchkeit, so that's also because Hashem guides us to mahu afata. Good. And when we, you know, do keep it up, all these kind of things. Right? Fine and good. So that's also avodas Hashem. What's the difference between that and Shabbos? Well, and during the week, we're doing all these things because we're partnering with Hashem in fixing the world, in bringing Kedusha to the world. That's our mission. And this is part of a larger conversation of why God created the world in the first place, but we don't have time for that today. So here we are, during the week, doing all these things to bring Hashem into the world. What happens on Shabbos? We stop doing that. We realize that there are different ways, different modes of serving Hashem, what Rabbi Foreman calls the difference between becoming and being. During the week, we are becoming. We're working toward developing our relationship with Hashem. We are building and doing and creating in partnership with God. But on Shabbos, we're not becoming anymore. We're just being. Vayonach. The concept of vayonach, of being settled in where you are with God and saying, God is taking care of everything, now it's not my job to become, it's just to be, that is the Kedusha of Shabbos. The Kedusha of Shabbos, then conceptually, is different than the Kedusha of the week.
And that's the concept of
exactly. So the Reverend just is about to spill the beans on what we're going to say, so you're a mechavin. This is what's going to be unique for the Eved, so we'll get to it in a second. But just to make sure we have it clear on this concept, mm-hmm. that the concept of Shabbos as a destination, as an endpoint, we've got it. We don't have to feel like, you know, sometimes you go home from work or you're working on something or thinking about something, you're always like, what's the next thing? What do I have to do next? Where is this going to go? The answer is, That's all a mindset of the weekdays. On Shabbos, it's not, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? It's, don't go anywhere. Don't do anything. Be in the moment.
Well, isn't like Shabbos, the idea is shutting the door from the outside world and just be inside with your family and you do a menucha.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's common sense.
Absolutely. But it's also true on a spiritual level. What do we say about Shabbos? Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. What does it mean that it's me'ein olam haba? Obviously, it's nice, it's pleasant, it's beautiful. But what else does that mean? In olam haba, are there any, so to speak, are there any mitzvos in olam haba? Right? La meisim chavshi. Meisim cannot do mitzvos. That's why if a person goes to a cemetery, they should be careful they don't wear the tefillin in the cemetery. We don't wear tefillin all day, but you can't wear tefillin in a cemetery. Why not?
Well, your tzitzis inside.
Keep a talus inside, exactly. Why do you do that?
But then you wash your hands when you come out.
Yeah, but before the washing, why don't you wear your tefillin in the cemetery?
Loig l'rush.
Loig l'rush. What does it mean, loig l'rush?
You're making fun of... I can do it, you can't.
Bingo. So what's the point? Meaning, what's the shot?
Are
we better... Here's the thing. Are we better off than them, then? No. Who's better off?
Depends how you look at it.
Exactly. It's not better or worse. It's different. We are becoming. They are being. Olam Haba is a state of being. That is the destination. That's where the soul is, where it belongs. In this world, the soul is trying to accomplish something. So from that aspect, you're right. The Mesim, they feel left out of the becoming part of it. But obviously, it's much better off to be on the being side of it. That's the difference between the 6 days and the day of Shabbos. Shabbos, therefore, is Me'ein Olam Haba. Just like Olam Haba is just about being, Shabbos is about being. So now you can understand, as the Reverend just pointed out, why this is very significant for an Eved. Why? Because an Eved knows nothing about being. The Eved is always becoming. The Eved never sees a destination. Think about it. What a difficult life that is. The Eved is only working at the whim and the request of the master. That means he never can sit back and say, you know, I am where I am, because he's always doing something, he's always becoming. He never has a me'ein olam haba. Even if he's got a few minutes of break, what is that few minutes of break? It's to get fired up for the next test he's going to have. He's always becoming. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chevra, I take you out of Mitzrayim. You have to know there's a new mindset. There's a shift. 6 days of the week, you're going to be an Eved Hashem. But on the seventh day, you're not in the same frame of mind. You're not becoming anymore. You're just being. You're in a destination. And this is a beautiful essay that I gave you on the back from Dr. Akiva Tatz, Rabbi Tatz from South Africa. This was published in a book that was disseminated in the United Kingdom a couple of years ago, called 60 Days for 60 Years. It was the anniversary of the end of the Holocaust. They published 60 different essays, and it was for kids in England, in the UK. And one of the essays is from Rabbi Tatz, where he described exactly this idea, similar to what Rabbi Foreman has on the third paragraph on the left side. There are many ideas in Shabbat, but perhaps the most basic is that it represents an end point, the purpose of a process. The week is a period of working, building. Shabbos is the cessation of that building, which brings home the significance and the sense of achievement that building has generated. It is not simply rest, inactivity. It is the celebration of the work which has been completed. Whenever the Torah mentions Shabbos, it first mentions 6 days of the week. The idea is that Shabbos occurs only after, because of the work. A process, he says, must have an end point to give it meaning. It's got to have meaning. That's what the Rebbe Shlomo is giving us in our life. If a work never achieves a result, the work is foolish. If an inventor builds a machine which maintains itself fully, fuels itself, oils itself, cleans itself, that is clever, provided that the machine produces something useful. A machine whose only output is its own maintenance would be ridiculous. If we only work 6 days a week to keep us alive, but we're not ever achieving anything, we're never stopping to be, it's not happening. So I invite you to read this a little bit more on your own later. I think it's a beautiful essay about Shabbos. But this, I think, is the third perspective that we can give. The first one was, Avdus, you're used to being Avodim left Mitzrayim. Good. Now you're going to be an Eved, but you're going to be an Eved Hashem. Your Avdus is going to be noble. That's the experience of Shabbos, giving yourself your full service to Hashem. But the second idea brings us to a countercultural movement. Hashem is saying, stop. Don't be in this, I don't want to say rut, but don't be in this mindset of Avdus, of always becoming, doing. You have to stop for a second. So that's going to mean, number one, embrace time. As an Eved, you never had time. And number two, use that time to shift your mindset from being and doing to just becoming. See the end product, the spiritual goals. Use that opportunity as Me'ein Olam Haba. So perhaps for these reasons, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dafka, before we got to Har Sinai, as a mode of preparation for what it means to become an Ama Nivchar, a nation with a covenant with God, we had to first experience a Shabbos to understand what are we getting ourselves into. It's not enough to understand that we're going to be mekabel whatever he says with Paraduma, or to be able to sustain ourselves like on just a transactional level. We have to understand what is a Jew, and that's why perhaps Shabbos is so central. A person is, God forbid, a machal Shabbos b'farhesia. It's the one institution of Jewish law which is definitional. A person doesn't observe Shabbos with a conscious decision, so then they have separated themselves from the Jewish community, because these are fundamental defining principles for what it means to be a Jew. So something to think about. Yashar Koach. Good Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos Shira. Thank you for coming all the way from New York just for this. Very special. And very, very special.
The whole world was created just for you. So.
I know better than that, I can tell you. That's right.
Don't dump it in the garbage, guys.
You gotta eventually.
You never think of that.
Until he got a job, he was stocking shelves. I think he told me $7 a week.